We're continuing our series in Matthew. We always take the life of Jesus in the beginning of the year and use the four Gospels to do that, and this year is Matthew. And we've been studying just how Jesus views the aspect of sin, how God will take care of those who bring sin upon others, how God cares for us when we wander away and he leaves the 99 and goes to get them. God cares for them. We've learned that when there's sin in the church, there's a specific biblical way to handle that, because God's way is always about restoration. Sin destroys, and we want to continue to pray that God would help us to be a church where we're staying pure until he comes. That's at God's heart. Last week, Scott told us again God's heart, what it means to forgive. That we need to be a people who have forgiveness on our heart. And the comparison was how Jesus forgave us doesn't come close to how we can forgive others. So we want to have the mindset that I will always forgive someone because how Jesus forgave me. We shift a little bit this week as we get into chapter 19, and there's a little bit of, even in geography, because we're going to see that in a moment, where Jesus moves into a different territory, and the Pharisees again come to knock him down. And we're going to look at the whole aspect of divorce and how God sees that, because that's what the Pharisees are trying to do. They're trying to get Jesus into a corner, and that can't happen. Jesus is the creator of all things, and you just won't be able to trick him. So it's a beautiful way how God handles this. But as I thought about this, and I want to share with you, it's probably one of the most time I've spent in studying the subject, because it's a delicate subject. The church and the writings and the theology of this subject is all over the place. And my heart is, to the best of my ability, with the power of the Spirit, I searched and studied because it is such a tender, difficult passage. And I am aware of those of us here in the body that have experienced divorce. Malachi says, 2:16, God hates divorce. And I think, and I'm going to get into that a little bit with Israel, but one of the main reasons is because of the destruction that divorce entails. It destroys the very foundation of what God wants, of family, man and wife. And it was never, ever God's intention for that. I want to share with you that, and I don't know how I have time to tell the second story I have, but the first story is I'm not far from understanding the hurt of divorce. Many of you heard my wife's testimony on the women's retreat. I won't get into some of those aspects, but I will share you this. The church that I grew up in, Luane came as an unbeliever. And God, in his grace and mercy, touched her heart and she received Christ as a single divorced woman. The church that I grew up in, the pastor there who baptized me and I love, and he was a great teacher, his position on divorce was never ever. As a matter of fact, they even had in the pews, like we have in our FYIs here, we have an insert of welcome. And they had a little card there. And on that card, with all the information you could fill out, there was a category of divorce to check off. Not, are you a thief? Are you a murderer? Are you a liar? But divorce. So, when Luane and I got married and we went to There was a new pastor at that time, which I think was in God's providence. We went with the idea that whatever our pastor tells us scripturally, we're going to abide by. And if he said, it's wrong for you guys to get married, we were going to abide by that. I think to God's grace, his position was similar to what I'm going to share today. Interesting how the sovereignty of God works. And some of you know the story. He said, I will marry you because I believe you can. It's good for him too. But he said this, because of the church we went to. You will never be able to sing or minister in the church. You'll never be able to be a leader. As a young guy, I thought about that. And here's where we see the mercy of God and grace. Because I've been a believer since I was 5. And God taught me the scriptures. And here's what I believe God touched my heart and said this. God, I'm okay with that. Because I know I can serve you no matter what, no matter where. Here's the irony of the story. Years later, I become an elder of a church, and I led worship for 22 years. That's where God is. And as we continue with Brian Comanone as lead pastor, it's kind of like a marriage. It's not a marriage. It's kind of like a marriage. But as Dom challenged us as a church, John 17 says this, I want you to be one as the Father and Christ is one. So as the Vincents come, they're coming to be one with us. We're going to reach out and be one with them so that from John 17, we can glorify the Father. That's our motivation. So as we study this passage, we understand how much the gospel preaches to divorce. And I want to say this to calm everyone's nerves of what I'm going to preach on divorce. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. The cross can forgive us, as Scott taught last week, completely. If Jesus purifies us by our faith in what he has done on the cross, we're purified no matter what anybody says. We're not second-class citizens. I want to give you a little background before we get to our portion of scripture here. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi, they're contemporaries. They lived together just prior, 400 years prior for Jesus to come. After the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, we don't hear from God through the scriptures. God is always at work. Ezra and Nehemiah gets a little confusing because Ezra and Nehemiah is all the way up near Genesis. But it's placed there because it's a history book. We have the law, history, poetry, minor prophets, major prophets. So we want to take Ezra and Nehemiah, grab them, put them over in Malachi. Because the time is, after their sin and rebellion, God sends them away through the prophet Jeremiah. You'll be held in captivity for 70 years. Those 70 years have come and gone, and now they're coming back to the land that God has promised them. Ezra and Nehemiah are working together, Nehemiah building the wall of Jerusalem, and Ezra rebuilding the temple. So now the Israelites who are brought back can worship God in the intent that God wants them to. But here's what happens. In Malachi, I shared with the people, God hates divorce. When the people come back, they did not obey God even in the rebellion. You would think they would have repented and sought God and prayed, like Daniel did, because he was in the Babylonian captivity. But when they come back, Ezra and Nehemiah find them that they divorced their Israelite wives and married foreign gods, which was against the law. Ezra is so upset about it, he pulls his hair out and his beard because he's devastated that God's people would disobey. You see, the divorce and marrying foreign women always led to idolatry. And that's the one area that God said, Scott told him last week, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your mind, your soul and strength. They worshiped other gods. He wasn't even first place. Nehemiah finds it out. He's distraught. He beats them over the head and pulls their hair out. Because they both have a heart for what God has a heart for. God can forgive divorce, but we need to understand his heart on it. Matthew 19, first verse. When Jesus had finished these sayings the last 4 weeks, he left Galilee, which is up here north, and went into the region of Judea, coming down towards Jerusalem, to the other side of the Jordan. Perea is in this section that he's doing. So I want to give you a little history of what's going on here at the time. First of all, from the 400 years that God no longer sent prophets, who's the first prophet that comes up on the scene in the New Testament? John the Baptist. No prophet like him. But during that time, the rabbis of the day started to even create their own law about divorce. Hillel, one of the most famous rabbis of that time, born in 110 BC to 10 AD. So he wasn't around when Jesus was here. But here's what he said about divorce. If the wife burns the food, she's out. If she dances too much and her ankles are exposed, get rid of her. Wow, listen to this. If she says something negative about the mother-in-law, she's gone. Here's some other rabbis during the time of Jesus. Here's what one guy said. Those who will never, never behold the face of hell are those who had a bad wife because she's been his hell. That's what they're hearing during the time of Jesus. Here's another one. Bad wife is like leprosy. Divorce her and you'll be cured. And here's the last one. Bad wife, it's your religious duty to divorce her. And they've described what bad is. And it certainly does not measure up to God's heart. So, these Pharisees have this mindset. So, he's in Pura, on the east side of Jordan. And some Pharisees come to him to test him. Don't you love this? They've done this through his whole life. Jesus is a city now where Easter's not that far away. And they ask him this question. Can you imagine their tone? Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? They got it all down. She burns your toast, gone. But they're trying to trick him. He's in a region where, you remember this guy's name? Herod Antipas? He's the guy that beheads John the Baptist. And this is where he's ruling that. And it's a huge crowd. And the Pharisees are saying, we know his position on divorce. We're going to get him to admit it here. So we'll knock down his fame and his popularity. Jesus doesn't care one iota about that. What does Jesus care about? Truth. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing for us to understand. When we want to study divorce, when we want to study marriage, when we want to study remarriage, we want to hear God's heart on it. It's a difficult subject. It's vast. And there's so many men that I have admired that I can't agree with on this subject. There's so many men that I do agree with. But here's a book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage in the Bible, J. Adams. I recommend this highly. It covers biblically so many wonderful things. To try for us to get a handle on this. So they asked this question to Jesus, trying to trick him, trying to get him in trouble. And here's how he replies. Haven't you read, he said, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. What Adam says in the book here is the first thing when you want to come up with a right theology of divorce, you need to understand marriage. Jesus goes back to the beginning and says, let me tell you what God's intent was. You remember the passage in Genesis where God said, after he made man, it's not good that man would be alone. Not lonely. Alone. Because God wants to make man complete, and he does that by creating woman. That was his intent. And church, we're heading upstream, and the world's coming this way at us. Because it says this, the Creator made them male and female. Two genders. We're living in a time, and I don't know if you know this, Steve and I, who we oversee the teaching team at this time, it's going to be your job one day. At this point in time, there are 17 different genders that the world is saying there is. I'm going for God's side, too, male and female. And when it comes to marriage, and as loving and sensitive I want to be, it's not male and male. It's not female and female. And by the way, it's not male and female, female, females that you see a lot of in the Old Testament. So God takes them back to the beginning. And he says this, the two will become one flesh. It has the idea in that description in the Hebrew as glue. That's God's intent. Marriage is God's idea. And he says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's God's heart. That wants to be our heart. But that doesn't mean there's places where God certainly understands and allows it. We're not going to be able to get every aspect of divorce, remarriage. I'm available if you have questions on that I would sit down and take the time to help you through that. We don't want you to go away here confused, not knowing. If we go to the next slide, here's the Pharisees back again. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Now let me read the next and how he replies. There's a big difference here. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, first of all, and it just reminded me so much of all the way how the news people handle it. Moses didn't permit you to divorce your wife. This is from Deuteronomy 24. What they were doing was divorcing their wives. And he never commanded it. That's the word they use. Didn't Moses command? If you go back to Deuteronomy 24, here's the setting. They were committing divorce. And Moses is going to address it. And here's what he commanded them in that passage. You divorce your wife for any reason, and even in the Old Testament, they had ridiculous reasons. And you send her away, and she goes and marries someone else, because for a woman to be not been taken care of would be a horrific thing in that culture. Some of them would turn to prostitution. And that woman marries another because that's what she's going to do. She seek it. And that man divorces her for any reason or dies. Here's the command. The first husband, you must not marry her again. That's the command. So they're even twisting the scriptures as they always do, trying to trick the Lord. He wrote the book. You're not going to trick him. Let's go on. The disciples said to him, if this is a situation between a husband and a wife, it's better not to marry. Here's followers of Christ. And they're in the culture. And they understand, get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her. And you're saying, don't get rid of her for any and every reason. You divorce your wife if it's legitimate. And we're not going to have time to get through all those things. We want to deal with the passage. But the disciples' conclusion is, wow, if I got to stay with the same woman, I might as well not get married. It's better. That's their conclusion. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who accepts this, can accept this, should accept it. And I marvel at the Lord even through this, because he always adds, just like Scott said last week, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. But he adds another one, and your neighbor. That's how it plays out. So he's telling them, listen, there are people that are single. And his answer to that is great. He understands that. And if you want to know more, you can go to 1 Corinthians 7. There's a whole wonderful passage about that. Most of us know it by, all right, if you feel like you're going to burn, then get married. Okay, if you can't deal with the sexual aspect of it. But God is saying something here very special. And I want to just encourage us to think it through as well. We have a lot of singles here. And I certainly understand your struggles, your desires, your hopes. I have two adult children that are single. And I know the heartaches they've gone through, the loneliness. I want to share two things about that. First of all, and just thank our singles here, the amount of service that you do for Christ and our church is just amazing. Don't think you're a second-class citizen if you're not married or fulfilled. May Christ be your husband. That's what God wants us to understand. We are so grateful to to the singles that serve here, because they have time far more than we who have responsibility for our wives and our children. You are needed, and you are just so appreciated. We can serve God's kingdom. I've helped my daughter through this situation. She's 40 now. And she's beginning to think, I may never marry. And that could be. Luanne and I, we would love to have more grandchildren. But we've accepted that, if that's God's plan. Because God's plan is best. And here's what God taught her through this. I'll lay my desires at your feet, Lord. And God has taught her, as she's looked around, how many of her married friends are divorced and fighting. It's not better on the other side. What we have to focus on is, what is Christ calling us to do? He's our satisfaction. He's the one who fulfills us. And if we look anywhere else, we're going to miss it. He's our joy. I want to share a few things just from this story and the situation that we have here with Jesus trying to help us understand this. And I want to speak to you guys. I've already said divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Divorce happens because of sin. And we here at Hope want to encourage every marriage here that if you're struggling, don't you think about divorce. If you, as a married couple, claim to know Jesus, both of you, husband and wife, know Jesus, our God can reconcile, restore, and renew. That's who He is. That's what He does. So don't hide your struggle. We, as leadership, will come alongside you. That's our promise. We have spent nights up late with couples that are struggling, and we've seen God work. Don't try to hide your sin. Bring it to the Savior. The cross covers that. And through God's help, we can restore that. I've shared this before about the gospel. If I understand in my own heart what God has accomplished at the cross, we as humans and our flesh try to hide our sin. But when I come to the cross and understand the fullness of God's cleansing, I no longer have to hide my sin. It will always be forgiven if I come to Christ. We all know it. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Why? Not because I'm a good guy, but because Christ took on my sin and put on me His righteousness. When I stand before God, He doesn't see my ugliness. He sees the righteousness of His Son. And I say, hallelujah, I'm forgiven and cleansed, and I can keep coming back and being cleansed. I want to ask you this, for I don't know where all your hearts are at. But marriage, divorce, that's a huge choice to make. Where do you and I get our answers in life? I had one And it just wasn't me. There was a few of us elders trying to help a marriage that was in desperate need and in trouble. And the husband was in sin, and we were working with him, and he was repentive. He was in a situation where he was caught in that sin. We wanted to free him, and the wife said, I want out. And we encouraged her, just give us 6 more months to help him, to restore him. And here's what she said to us. Oh no, God told me it was okay to get a divorce. How do you answer that? Here's how I thought it through. Wait a minute. God says in Hebrews 13, obey those who have authority over you. We've talked about that before when it came to leadership here. Our position is not to be ogres over you or the Gestapo. Our position, our calling from God is to help you walk holy before your Savior. So that if that's our position and that's our heart and we're trying to help you, you shouldn't tell us that God spoke to you. When God, I believe, speaks through the leadership as well. And I believe, I didn't ask her how God spoke to her. I think she heard a voice out of her own desire and need that she wanted out. And that's tragic. It never ends well for anybody. The kids are messed up. And it doesn't have to be. Christ can restore. Christ can renew. Christ can forgive. Young people, they mostly sit over here. I'm not missing anybody, I don't think. Marriage is a big step. I'll challenge you. When that time comes, when you meet a guy, when you meet a girl, you want to get your answers from the Word of God. Is the guy you're in love with, or the girl you're in love with God? And I'll say it this way. You want a godly wife, you need to be a godly man. Women, you want a godly man, be a godly wife. So when you're joined together, you got that going for you. If you don't have God in your life, here's the way I try to look at it, then your life will be ungodly. And that's dangerous. We have seen that personally. The hurts. It's 20 after. I'm going to share this story because I think it's well worth it. Another personal story where I've seen the hurt of divorce, and it's not God's intention. My brother, 10 years older than me. Here's his expression. Hey, little brother. And he would say, I taught him everything he knows. I just didn't teach him what I know. And he did teach me all kinds of things. At the age of 18, I found out, and he was married for about 10 years there, he's getting a divorce. What? And I didn't know enough, but I went to him. Not even thinking, that's what Matthew 18 says. You see your brother in sin. No reason for divorce. I found out later some of the reasons, and there were some hard things in their marriage, but he didn't believe God can rectify it. Brokenness, God can heal, restore, renew. So off he went with his secretary. Then I found out later, he divorced her and remarried again. And I don't say this to belittle my brother. My brother's gone now. And only Jesus knows, did he really know Jesus? He claimed he did. But when he left his first wife, he never told his kids. He said, you tell them. And when him and I met, here's what he said to me, Chick, you don't understand. And I really didn't at 18. I understand now. And I'm heartbroken over that. His kids are heartbroken. The pain that they have endured has lasted them a lifetime. God hates divorce, and I should too. God can forgive divorce. But we want to do everything we can to follow God's ways because they're right and good for us. Let's pray. Father God, we cry out to you, help us for the selfishness that we can have day in and day out, especially with those that we're supposed to love and live with. You created marriage. You created family. You created community so that out of that a nation could be born. And we've messed it up. But thanks be to God, Lord, you have provided a way to fix it all. And we praise you for that. And those of us who say that we are in Christ, God, we ask that you would live in us every day so that we carry out your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.